Well, man, it is an amazing, amazing Sunday morning. Are you excited this morning? Man, what a Savior we see. He reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I am so glad that you guys have chosen to be with us here this morning. And the rain didn't scare you away. I was a little worried, you Californians, right? And so, but it is great to be here. So whether you are with us this morning online or you're here in the room, we're excited to celebrate this day of victory, this day that changed everything, this day that was the greatest day in all of history. You know, we here at Newbury Park, First Christian Church, we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. And one of the main ways we do that is by helping people encounter Him. And could you imagine encountering Him on that first Easter? But we know that you can encounter Him today. So this morning, let's just get right to the text. We're going to jump in. I mean, every year we cover the same thing. Easter, you know you're going to get the same story, but it is exciting every single Easter. So let's just dive in. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 24, and it says this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. Man, early in the morning, these women came and they brought spices. Now, why did they bring spices? Why would they come back to the tomb and bring all these spices with them? Well, because the guys didn't do it right. Right? Some of you ladies know the feeling, right? Have you ever had to reload the dishwasher or refold the laundry? You know what it's like, right? And so the ladies came. Well, in their haste, because it was the Sabbath day, they took Jesus, they took His dead body, they wrapped it in some quick cloths, and they put it in a borrowed tomb. And they came, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. It says in verse 3, but then when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, did you catch it? They were wondering about this. You know, they didn't go, whoa, He did it. I mean, think about that for a minute. They walked in the tomb, they didn't see a body, and they didn't think to themselves, oh, he really did it. They were like, what just happened? They were like, where is He? In fact, in the book of John, Mary actually says, they've taken my Lord's body and I don't know where they put it. They were not prepared. Even after 3 years with Jesus, they were not prepared for this. And it says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in cloths gleamed like lightning, stood beside them, and in their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. I was waiting for somebody to say, thank you very much. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. You see, if we just hit the rewind button just a teeny bit, just a few days before, Peter, he denied Jesus. He denied even knowing Him. But then you fast forward and 50 days later, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches the first sermon in the history of the church, and 3,000, he stands up boldly and he says, this Jesus who you all crucified is both Lord and Christ. And 3,000 people came and believed and were baptized. On Friday, just a few days before, Rome thinks that they have stopped the rebellion. And they go on to persecute the church. For 350 years, they try to wipe out the Christian faith. But on February 27th, the year 380, Emperor Theodosius signs the Edict of Thessalonica, making Christianity, it's so ironic, the official religion of the Roman Empire. On Friday, Jesus was arrested, and most of His disciples, they just ran away. They took off. In fact, on Easter morning, they were all cowering together, wondering if they were next in line to be crucified. Man, yet history would go on to tell us that within 30 years, this ragtag group of freaked out disciples would turn the world upside down with the message of Jesus. And every one of them would boldly give their lives for their faith. Now, what happened between Peter's denial and Peter's great sermon? Between the empire that put Jesus on the cross and the empire that worshiped him as Savior? What happened that turned those crazy cowering disciples from fear to lives of boldness? What happened that turned a Roman cross from a symbol of death and sorrow to a symbol of love and grace? What is the common equation in between those events? The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And I believe God is still in the business of resurrecting dead people to life. He's still in the business of breathing life into shattered dreams and resuscitating broken relationships. We know the resurrection changed Peter and the disciples' lives, and it changed the trajectory of the human history. The question this morning is this: will you allow the resurrection of Jesus to change you? You see, we don't only celebrate an event that happened way back then. We celebrate that Jesus is still resurrecting lives today. Do you believe that, church? Yes. And that the resurrection of Jesus can intersect your story. The Apostle Paul experienced the power of the resurrection firsthand. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which means he was probably part of the people who were put Jesus on trial and falsely accused him and yelled publicly, "Crucify him." Yet on the way to arrest Christians, he encounters the living risen Jesus, and he becomes the greatest spokesperson for the gospel in all of history and writes like half of our New Testament. And here's what Paul has to say. Here's Paul's experience. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where he's talking about the transformative power of the resurrection, this is what Paul says. He says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." Did you hear what Paul just said? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And if he's living in you, then he will also bring life to your bodies. What this tells us is this: the resurrection's not just powerful, the resurrection's personal. It's not just a Bible story. The resurrection is our story. Every one of us found ourselves dead in our trespasses of sin. Every single one of us found ourselves separated from Jesus and in need of a resurrection. And maybe this morning, that's you. Or maybe this morning you found Jesus, but you're not experiencing that power. I mean, that same Spirit is living in you, and it has the potential to resurrect the places in your life where you feel like you're dying. Are there areas in your life where you need the power of resurrection? Maybe it's physical health where you need power. Maybe it's in your parenting. How many of the parents in the room would say amen? Amen? Right? Maybe it's in your marriage. Don't say amen too quick. It might be in your mental health. Maybe it's in your job or school. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's in your finances. Where is it that you truly need power? You see, Easter reminds us that it's never too late for God to breathe life into things, and that there is resurrection power available to every single one of us. And some people say, like, hey, Pastor, that sounds great. He says, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the power in my life. How many of you know there's more power? Yeah? You know there's more? How many of you want more? Yeah? Okay, well, there's a key, and I want to share the key to that with you in just a moment. So here's the thing. You know, some people say, like, look, I've tried it all. You know, I go to church. You know, I've read my Bible. I try to pray. And that's all good, but don't stop. But here's the thing. I often think that we don't access the power because of this. I think it's often because we try to access the power without surrendering to the source. We try to access the power without surrendering to the source. We want God's power, but we want it for our plan. And Jesus is our resurrected King, and you cannot experience the power of the resurrection without making Him King of your life. Lots of people, they love to think of Jesus as a great teacher, a counselor, a spiritual advisor, or today a life coach, right? How many, I mean, be honest. I mean, think about this. Be honest about where you're at with Jesus. Is he just kind of a life coach? You kind of got him on speed dial, and when things go bad with your plan, you call him up and say, Jesus, could you help me fix my plan? And then you expect him to come in and fix your plan. The problem is you still got the wrong person on the throne. And some of us think that he's a genie, right? We just pray a certain way or do the right things, and then he comes and gives us what we want. Jesus never intended to be any of those things. He is not someone that we bring into our lives to promote our plan. Jesus is the resurrected King. You see, he does not come into our life to take a lesser role than that. From the beginning, Jesus was intended to be King. It's all through Jesus' life. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33, when the angel comes to tell Mary that she's going to have a baby, right, and he's going to be the Messiah, listen to what the angel says. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. He came to reign as a king, and he came to reign forever. The question is he reigning in your life? When the wise men show up to find the newborn king, the newborn infant, they say, where is the one who is born what? King of the Jews. They recognize this kingship. But last Sunday, we looked at the triumphal entry, and, you know, Pastor Juan was sharing with us, you know, what happened in that story and how when Jesus was coming into town, the people said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. He did not come just to be your buddy. He didn't come just to be your advisor. He didn't come just to be some good teacher. He came to be King. He came to reign and to rule in your life. And do you know the charge that got Jesus put on the cross? Do you know the charge that was why Jesus was falsely accused and crucified? A lot of people are like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, well, yeah, what was the charge? Like, what did Jesus actually die for? I mean, we know he died for it, but what got him put on the cross? The religious leaders charged him with blasphemy, right? Making himself equal to God. But they knew that the Romans wouldn't crucify him for that. So what did they do? They told Pilate that Jesus was claiming to be king. And in Matthew 27:11, it says, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate, remember? And the governor asked him, are you the King of the Jews? And I love Jesus' response. Jesus looks at Pilate and goes, well, you said it. It's like, I don't need to say it. You already said it. And then it goes on, you know, as soon as Pilate hands him over, it says that the guards, they took him, they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns. This is the only time in history that we know that anybody who was crucified got a crown of thorns. That didn't happen to just everybody. Why'd they do it? Because they were mocking him, because he was the king. And then the written charge above Jesus that was on the cross, in Matthew 27:37, above his head it says they placed a written charge against him. You see, what they would do is they would take these crosses and the roads that would be coming into the city, they would put the crosses on the side of the roads. Could you imagine that? Like you're bringing your kids into Jerusalem and there's crosses on the side of the road with dead people hanging from these crosses. And the reason that they would do that is to basically inflict fear on people, and they would put the charge above there, right? This guy murdered somebody, so here he is. This is what happens to murderers, right? And then he said, this person over here, you know, he kidnapped somebody. This is what happens to kidnappers. This person over here, you know, he didn't pay his taxes, and this is what happens to people who don't pay their taxes. And this guy right here, this is what we do to people who claim to be kings. And the truth was, is that he is. And 3 days later, he proved it by walking out of that tomb as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And right now, he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Amen? Amen. And I want you to hear how the Apostle John describes this Jesus right now, where he is right now. He says this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. He says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes were like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Hold on to that one, right? Many crowns. And he has a name written on him that is known to no one but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him and riding white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, he is King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. The question is he yours? I mean, he's already in the position. The question is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life? You see, if we don't accept him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then we step in and we make ourselves king. How many of you know you've done that? How many of you know, in your life you have like taken Jesus off the throne and you've taken his seat? How many of you know that? Okay, good. Well, here's what we're going to do this morning. Everybody's got a crown, right? This was on your seat. You guys all got your crown? All right. Now, I know some of you are just really silly. In fact, some of you are already looking at this thing and you're going like, yeah, do not make me put that on. We're going to do it, right? So here, yeah, it's pretty simple. You just clip the little thing in the back and you just put on your crown, right? You got it? All right, there you go. Everybody's got your crown? Yeah. Because let's be honest here, okay? Yeah, you guys are looking good, right? I love this. Okay, hold on. I gotta do this. Man, you guys just look too good. There you go. All right. Yeah. Here we go. All right. Now, here's the thing. Let's be honest. Most of the time we live and we think like Leonardo DiCaprio, right? I'm the king of the world, right? Right? I mean, that's how we live. We live like we're the king of the... Now, here's a question for you this morning. I know there's a few of you who are like, I ain't messing my hair up for you, Pastor, right? Some of you, like me, it doesn't matter. But for how many of you with this paper crown on your head, how many of you, you're quite honestly, you're like, well, I feel a little silly. Yeah, I feel a little silly? Good. Because here's the thing. I hope so, because it is silly to think that we can do an adequate job of running our lives. It is silly to imagine that we think that we can rule as king. See, but we Americans, we don't really understand kingship because we live in a democracy, right? I actually think this is one of the very things that makes it very hard for us in our country to really understand the kingship of Jesus. We live in a democracy. We live in a place where we get a vote. We have an opinion. And you know what? And our opinions matter. And we're raised from a time we are really little to thinking that that our opinions matter. And you know what? And we talk a lot about self-rule and our rights and all these things because we think we are the kings of our own domain, right? Man, I remember when I was a kid in junior high, one Sunday morning I woke up and I told my dad, my dad comes and says, okay, we're leaving in 5 minutes to go to church. I looked at my dad and I said, I ain't going. I made a fatal error that I assumed that I was in charge of my domain. I learned very quickly somebody else was in charge, right? You see, here's the reality. While in a democracy we get a vote, and our vote matters, right? In a kingdom, you don't get a vote. And you can have an opinion, but it doesn't matter. So I want you to think about this morning. Where are the places in your life right now where you still think this is a democracy? Where's the places in your life right now where you think, where you are governed by your will, your emotions, your opinions, your desires? Where is it that you have not recognized God's authority in your life? Is he Lord of your relationships? Is he Lord of your sexuality? Is he Lord of your finances? Is he Lord of your friendships? Is he Lord of your careers? Is he Lord of your calendar? Because here's the reality. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or he's not really Lord at all. You see, folks, in a kingdom, we don't get to vote. The king calls the shots. And the Bible is written from a kingdom perspective. But here's the good news. When you accept Jesus and you make him king in your life, he doesn't make you a subject. He invites you in to be part of the royal family. Did you know there's 43 monarchies in the world? But most of them are simply figureheads. They don't have any real power to change anything. Most of what they do is just ceremonial. They just smile and wave. Oh, wait, I got to do it right. Right? Probably the best known is the British royal family. And last year, for the first time in 70 years, they crowned a new king. Because Queen Elizabeth, she passed away in September of 2022. And you know what happened immediately upon her death? Charles took the position of king. But you know, he wasn't crowned for 8 months. You see, here's the thing, folks. Today we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Jesus is the risen King. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But let me ask you something. Is he your king? Have you crowned him? Because you cannot access the power until you surrender to the king. You see, when we make him king, then we have access to his forgiveness that he purchased on the cross. When we make him king, we have access to his power. When we recognize him as king, we have access to his provision, his protection, and his presence. And you get a seat at the table. You see, too many of us want to treat Jesus like a member of the British royal family. We like having him around. We like to have him in the ceremony. We love to see him smile and wave to us, but we don't want him messing in the real business of things, trying to make changes in our lives. You see, when Jesus walked out of that tomb on that first Easter morning, he proved that he was king. And this morning, I just feel like so many of us need to get off that throne and to crown him. In Revelation 4, 10 to 11, it says this, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns down before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created. And that includes us. And they have their being. So I want to invite you this morning to recognize Jesus as the one true risen King. Do you feel like there's part of your life that needs some resurrection power this morning? Are there parts of your life that maybe you haven't fully surrendered to him? Are there places in your life that you're still pretending you're king? Then this morning, will you crown him king of your life? So what I'm going to invite you to do is this morning. And in just a second, we're going to sing. And you know what's really funny is in the last couple minutes, a lot of you got really comfortable with the crown on your head, didn't you? You forgot how beautiful you look. And it just becomes the norm, right? But this morning, I want to invite you to do something as we sing in just a moment. While we sing, I want to invite you to imagine what is that place in your life where you have not crowned Jesus King. And I invite you to take that crown. And while we're singing as a symbol of you crowning him king, we're going to do what those 24 elders are going to do in eternity and just come up here. You can walk up front and just lay your crown down and say this. He's not just a king. He is not just the king. He is my king. And today, I trade my kingdom for your kingdom. I relinquish the idea that I am ruling the show, and I declare that I want him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my life. Jesus is the risen King. Is he King in your life? Let's make sure we crown him this morning. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you are here. We thank you that you are ruling and you're reigning, that we have access to the incredible power that raised Jesus from the dead. And we pray this morning, this Easter morning, that, Lord, we would recognize you for who you really are, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We crown you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the NPFCC Messages podcast. If this message blessed you in any way and you'd like to learn more about our church, you can visit us online at npfcc.org. Again, that's npfcc.org. To support the ongoing work of our ministry, you can make a donation at npfcc.org/give. But be blessed, and may the Spirit empower you to actualize this message today.